This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is. Rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I can't think of it. I think my daughter watches it. We are high above Peachtree and 14th Street here in Midtown, where our studios are, in our palatial studios. And Randy just asked me, he's in for Mike today. Out of our window, we can see the...
They're filming a movie or something down
there. Well, it's
there.
A TV show.
It's a TV show, okay.
And I think this is the entrance to the hospital show that's on, and I'm going to have to look it up. They did this like, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago. Uh-huh. We were like, what movie are they filming? And then somebody told us it was the TV show. I want to say it's the Fox Hospital show. Either way, big production out here. And what's the museum right here? Is it Hyde Museum?
I believe.
Right down the street?
Yeah, that one.
So, yeah, that one down there. They're filming something down there. They're always filming something here in the ATL now. It's kind of crazy,
That's
man.
My traffic. I mean, it took me...
They had it blocked off.
I got off the exit at 14th Street here.
Yeah.
It took me 30 minutes from the exit to get here.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And so...
You too?
Oh, yeah, it was a nightmare. And nobody knows how to drive down here. Half the people you're in traffic with don't know where they're going.
All right, Bo, don't criticize the drivers down here now.
No, I'm in on 14th Street, Midtown.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Georgia drivers.
No, it's Miss Midtown. They're terrible.
Anything else?
I had road rage this morning in Buckhead.
I would never have guessed that you've gotten road rage. That's incredible. What happened?
To make it short, do you know when the light turns and the lane is blocked because people went too far?
Light short and lane's blocked, yes. Make it short.
You don't further the problem by blocking traffic. Somebody honked their horn because they wanted me to pull out and make more of a traffic jam.
And you didn't do that?
No, I screamed out my window.
Yeah. Boy, there seem to be some anger issues on this program. 404-741-0929 is the number. You can hit us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's Friday, man. Look at the weather. It's beautiful outside. Listen, we're going to have a great weekend. Falcons, Bucks coming up on Sunday. We got Dogs LSU tomorrow. That is the big game, and Brad Nessler is set to join us in about 20 minutes. So we'll talk to Ness and get more in-depth, I guess.
The resident.
That's it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we'll get more in-depth into what's going on with this game. As far as the Falcons are concerned, I gotta rehash this, Randy, because I just want to make it clear that I love Julio, but I don't buy that Julio doesn't need to score to be happy. I don't buy that whole notion.
Okay, tell me this: do you think him scoring is more important than him winning? Because I know receivers that want their numbers more than they care about winning.
No. Let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
Are you telling me, let's just say we went through the whole season.
Okay.
And Julio has, just give a random number out there, 1,300 yards.
Okay.
And no touchdowns.
Okay.
Are you telling me at the end of the year, Julio's going to be happy?
What's the team's record?
We go to the playoffs.
I think he'll be good.
You're telling me he'd be happy?
I ain't saying happy. I just said he'd be good. I
ain't gonna say
happy.
No, there's
I'm good.
Difference.
No. You happy?
No,
I'm good.
No.
Or I'm pissed.
No,
that's football. That's how football. That's how
you
look at it.
Can't be.
I'm happy. I'm good. I'm cool. I'm Pete. Yeah, no.
You can't.
I've never been a stat guy.
I don't care
about going out there and scoring a touchdown to make me feel good.
Come on, man.
But you even told me this. I said as long as Julio's been here.
Yeah.
As long as y'all have covered Julio.
Yeah.
Has Julio ever complained about anything?
No, he never has.
So why can't we
When
has he ever complained?
Whoa.
When did he complain about it?
He did get an adjustment, okay?
That wasn't complaining.
Oh, what was it?
What was it? Something that he wanted.
Yeah, that's how you explain it?
Yeah.
Brother didn't show up. He wanted more money.
That's not complaining. I mean, that's just, I want what I want.
All right.
And then he was working out, trying to get in the best shape of his career.
Boy, I tell you what.
I mean, but, you know, a certain 2-7 show, y'all just went all overboard. I kept trying to tell y'all to calm down.
And we're six weeks into the season, and we still have a big fat zero.
Are the Falcons 1-4 because of that?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Now, that's real talk. Because as much as we brought this up and have talked about it, and the reason why we bring it up, guys, D. Orlando Ledbetter wrote an article yesterday talking about the fact that it's been a 10-game drought. Now, I didn't even realize this.
You didn't?
I didn't. I wasn't. I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I'm more focused on why we're not winning football games right now. But the reality is, if you go back and look, and this goes back, obviously, to last season, 10 games since Julio's called a touchdown. So here's the deal, though, Randy. You gave him a nice adjustment.
Right.
Okay? You satisfied his needs off the field.
Okay.
Our needs are not getting satisfied.
Whose needs? Whose needs?
Falcon fans.
Thank you.
Falcon fans.
What is the most dependent position in football?
Wide receiver?
Thank you. He can't throw it to himself.
Okay, so you're putting the blame on
I
Matt.
Ain't putting the blame on nobody. I'm just saying, wide receiver is the most dependent position in football, which I don't understand why they're so divas, because if they don't throw you a ball, you can't get your boogie on or whatever.
Yeah.
I've never been a stat guy. I don't care about going out there and scoring a touchdown to make me feel good.
And that's what he's all he's saying. Carl,
I don't buy it.
He's not saying that he don't want to score, Carl. He's saying if he doesn't score, he ain't going to be upset.
Who plays that position and doesn't want to score and is not upset when they don't? There's not – Randy McMichael.
Hey, man.
Did you ever want to score in a football game?
Every game you want to score. Okay. He's not saying
that's
he
it.
Does not want to
that's
score.
It. That's it.
He's not saying – he did not say that he did not want to score. He didn't say that.
What'd he say?
He's basically saying that if I don't score, if I don't, it ain't going to bother me.
I don't buy it.
How you don't buy it? He just said it out of his mouth.
I don't buy it.
But you buy that he's upset, though.
I do.
But he didn't say he was upset.
Because he's not going to say that. 404-741-0929. Yes, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Here's the deal, guys. We have no Freeman. If you're just joining the program, he's been declared out. Grady Jarrett's out. Derek Shelby's out. All right. These are three guys for this week that we know we've been kind of watching this week. He's out. You guys can't tell me that now we look at this and you go, well, it's been 10 games. How many more games are he supposed to go? It's been a 15-game drought. It's not an issue. What?
Is this affecting the Falcons' season?
I don't know.
Why?
Because if there are plays to be made from our star receiver that may ultimately help us win games and those plays are not being made, then it affects the season.
Okay, then I go back to what I said earlier. Is that on him? Is it on the system? Is it on the quarterback?
Well,
who's that on?
Let's use last week for
who's
example.
That on?
Well, let's use last week. All right, and I'm going to go back last week. Okay. And I know a lot of guys are trying to call in. We'll grab a couple of phone calls here at 404-741-0929. And by the way, this is not a shot at Julio. These are facts. It's facts.
And D. Levy's starting trouble.
Would
man.
You stop?
D. Levy's starting
He's
trouble.
He's simply reporting the information.
D. Levy's starting trouble.
Last week, here's the deal. Randy Mack, how do you not get your first catch to the third quarter?
Again. Is that on him? Is it on the quarterback? Is it on the play? And I'm not sitting here trying to defend Julio, but like I said before, I've been around wide receivers. I've been around the guys that want the football. I was one of those guys.
So you want the ball. You want to score all the time.
Every receiver wants the ball. Every single
play.
That's
exactly right.
But what he's saying is, but to his point, I feel like if I don't get it or nothing like that, if we win, I'm cool. We won.
You could go through a whole season and not score one touchdown. You're Randy McMichael. You're a star tight end in the NFL, and it doesn't matter to you.
This is the thing, Carl. Well, just follow along with me, okay? What he's trying to say is, Carl, is that, yeah, of course, he wants to score. All right? He's not saying, I don't want to score. He's saying that he doesn't. It's not going to affect him. It's not going to affect this play. He's still going to go out there and play hard. You have guys now
that are shutting down.
If they don't get the ball, they're shutting down.
Number
11 is not going to do that. He's going to keep playing hard and all that. Now, it was a damn shame that it took that long for him to get a catch last week. Damn shame. But every time they had the opportunity to connect, it was something. That's why I said, when you're a struggling team, it can't be something. You got to block that guy.
Yep.
I mean,
you got to make the catch.
The one free miss, it wasn't really a free. We call it elephants on parade. It was a bootleg away. You never have no blocking responsibility like that. But if somebody flashes, like T.J. Watt did on that play, throw him a little flipper. But that's not in the read. That's not in the read or something. It's just, throw a flipper. Yeah. Elephants on parade. Everybody's going way. Quarterbacks come the other way. But if you're looking at number 11, he is the most unselfish. That's why people have always said this.
No, he is. Moment. No, listen.
And I didn't know a lot about Julio until I got here in this business. He's the most unselfish superstar wide receiver outside of AJ, him and AJ Green that I've ever seen.
Well, they don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care. I don't disagree with that. But I don't want to ever hear Julio say it don't matter, because it does.
It matters to who, Carl?
It matters to everybody.
Who own him in fantasy?
No, would you stop? Fantasy owners, get out of here. Everybody. It's real. You can't be a superstar receiver like Julio and tell me it don't matter.
Why can't he be?
Oh, come on.
Why can't he? That's what I'm saying. Why can't he be that guy?
When keeping it real goes wrong.
Shaky Q on the Twitter.
Shaky.
Says that's BS, dude. He wants money, which needs to translate to touchdowns. That's what he's saying.
What?
It's right.
Hold on. Read that again. He wants money, so that translates to touchdowns.
Yeah, he got an adjustment. He wants money, which should be translating to touchdowns. He needs to score touchdowns.
I never said he didn't need to score. What I said is he can't throw the ball to himself.
And that's true. Now, I'll say this. And by the way, we're going to review a movie here coming up with Will Guerra.
Talking about his money.
What? Are you serious right now?
Goodness. Inside that man's pocket.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
All offseason, that's all this dude was talking about. And now we get to the season with six weeks in?
Hold on. Did he come out one time and say money?
Who?
Julio.
I know you're not going there.
Did he say money?
I know you're not going there. Did they give this man an adjustment?
I told you in March.
Did they give this man an adjustment?
Didn't I tell you in March what was going to happen?
Did they give this man an adjustment?
I said he's going to get his money.
An adjustment?
Yes.
Adjustment?
Didn't I tell you this March? Oh, Julio wants a new contract. I was like, no, Carl. They're not going to tear up the contract. I still remember doing this, and Squid got all mad. You told my paper.
I don't know why Squid got mad at that.
But I'm with you. It's a damn shame that Julio does not have more touchdowns. I'm with
you.
I've always been on that. Why the hell does Julio not get the ball more in position to score?
That's all we've been saying. That's it.
I'm saying that. You ain't saying it. You're like, the man said he don't want to score.
That's what I heard.
How did he say that?
That's what I heard. Let me talk to KC in College Park. Then we're going to talk to Will Guerra real quick. There's a great movie that I want to check out. He actually did the premiere with the star of the movie. We'll grab Will in 1 second. KC in College Park. What's up, man? You're in the game. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, I just want to say I'm with Randy. You need to knock it off, dude.
Knock what off?
You caught up. You caught up in your own opinion about what Julio wants.
Whoa! First of all, Bo, stop planning calls on this radio show. Number one, stop planning calls. Number two, don't ever touch my bell again, Bo. Don't ever touch the bell. The bell's for genius. Number two, okay. KC, I'm not making these numbers up, Playboy. It's been 10 games since he caught a touchdown. What do you guys want me to do? Ignore it?
What?
Should I ignore it?
No, that's what I'm saying. You trying to make it out. I'm not telling you to ignore it. Julio did not say that he does not want to score touchdowns.
Whoa.
He never said that.
Whoa.
He never said that, Carl. You can try and whoa and twist it. He never said, I don't want to score touchdowns. He said, it does not affect me if I don't, like it does other receivers. And you've seen how it is if these guys don't get their numbers. They're throwing stuff, head button fences and all that mess. I mean, you see that, and he ain't about that.
All right, he's not. Listen, I'm not saying that he's selfish. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, the touchdowns do matter, and to hear that from Julio, I just don't buy it. Either way, we'll get back into that. KC, there is no agenda. These are facts. These are not made-up numbers. Hey, Will Guerra, are you in there?
I'm here.
All right, man, tell us about the movie, because I heard it was incredible. What is it called? Who's the star, and what did you think?
Well, the movie First Man opens in theaters today. It stars Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong. I went to a special sneak preview of it on Monday night, and the reason they were doing it here is, the unbeknownst to me, the movie was filmed in Atlanta. So they had filmed it at Tyler Perry Studios. Some of the scenes were filmed up in Roswell. And actually, the moon part was filmed at a quarry about 30 miles outside of the Atlanta area. So the movie begins with Neil Armstrong. He's a test pilot. He's on one of those jets that go up there up over the atmosphere, and the movie's just shaking and screaming and just very, very loud. And then he goes into the Gemini 8, and every time we see a movie like Apollo 13 or anything in space is very quiet. The spacecrafts look big and large and all that, and these things were basically little tin cans with bolts shaking and dials moving, and it did such a great job of, wow, these guys, like, so many people were killed before they even got up into the rockets. And you forget about that nowadays. It's like, oh, yeah, they're going to space, big deal. And back in the 60s, it was a risk, you know, doing all that. So, I mean, Ryan was awesome. When they do the moon landing, we all know they landed on the moon. We know it happened. We, you know, but you were just biting your, you know, fingernails going, come on, come on, come on. Oh, my God, they're going to go into that canyon, and they're just running out of fuel as it's landing. And they filmed that scene in IMAX. So I'm telling you, if you're going to go see this movie, you need to check it out on the IMAX screen. I know there's one here in Atlantic Station. There's a couple other in the metro area. But I want to see the movie again. It was that good.
Will, first man, did you put any social media out there with Ryan Gosling?
No, I have not yet. In fact, I got a lucky chance to meet Ryan. He was in town with the director, and they did a little meet and greet after the movie. And, of course, when the PR person's like, hey, you know, want to take a picture with Ryan Gosling? I'm like, I don't know. Handsomest guy in the world? How am I going to look? So I got a picture. I'll tweet it out to you, and, you can all check it out. But definitely see the movie. It's probably one of the better. It's almost like the Saving Private Ryan of space movies. It's that good.
Wow, that's great. All right, I've been talking about it. Will said I went to the preview.
So you're going
to
go and see it?
I'm going to check it out. First Man stars Ryan Gosling, and they filmed it right here in the ATL. Great job, Will Guerra. Hey, coming back, Brad Nessler joins us. But before we get to that, it's time to give you some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Bo got people calling the show. Tornado! Tornado is the word, T-O-R-N-A-D-O. Text to 72881, that's 72881 for your chance to win. It's Friday, man. You want $1,000 in your pocket? Text Tornado to 72881, playing our national signing bonus contest. All right, we know it's going to be physical, but what's this game really going to come down to? Brad Nessler has the call on CBS. He joins us next.
Sidelines with the Dogs.
We do it each and every day. We talk dogs. Today we push it back just a little bit to talk to our friend, who is Brad Nessler, who calls the game on Saturday for CBS. And, of course, we go on the sidelines with the Dogs, which is brought to you by Brightbox. And, Ness, today we got our man Randy Mack in for Mike, who's off. But it is good to talk with you. And this is a big one, my friend. This is exciting because I think a lot of dog fans have been waiting for this game tomorrow.
I think a lot of dog fans are going to be here too, Carl. Man, just judging by downtown last night, there's going to be a pretty good portion of red in the stands. I don't think it's going to be quite like Notre Dame last year, but I know the same company has got a lot of buses coming over here, and I think they'll be well represented. This, you know, I just heard Mike's deal with Kirby there, and the season starts for both these teams. Actually, it started for LSU last week, and they lost Florida, but this is where it all gets good. And you know, Georgia's been kind of in the kiddie pool, if you will, you know, for 6 weeks, and they're about to get in the deep end down here, so it's going to get interesting.
I said this the other day, Ness. I'm like, Georgia is a top five team that you just not have heard anything from, and I know it's because of the schedule, but it could be there's really no drama going on there right now.
You know, talking to Dave Aranda today, the defensive coordinator for LSU, and he said, do you ever see the movie What Lies Beneath with Michelle Pfeiffer? And I said, yeah, I actually like Michelle Pfeiffer a lot. Why do you mean, Coach? And he said, Georgia hasn't had to do anything so far. I mean, you know, they don't play Jake in the fourth quarter, basically. They haven't shown anything fancy or flashy. And he said, it's all coming tomorrow. He said, what lies beneath is what Jim Chaney's got up his sleeve, offensively, at least for Georgia. So, you know, I think all from this point on to the end of the season, all stops will be pulled out. And you know, I'm like you guys. We have a lot of friends that are Georgia fans, majority of them are anyway, and they're looking at 43 points a game and only giving up 13 and going, oh, geez, they're not playing very well. I didn't watch the end of the game because it was so lopsided. And, well, what do you want? they're scoring 43 and they're only giving up 13. That's not bad football, even if you're just playing against, you know, the kindergarten kids. So we'll find out immediately tomorrow. And, you know, Georgia hasn't been behind except for one play all year. So if they get down here and they get down a touchdown or something, it'll be interesting to see how everybody reacts.
By the way, Jake Fromm, 18-2 as a starter. Lots of talk about the quarterbacks for Georgia, which I want to get to. But, Ness, you've done games there. And, you know, we try to explain to our listeners who've never had an opportunity to experience a game there. Randy's played in that stadium and knows what that environment is like. How do you describe it? How do you describe it?
It's a little bit different at night than it is in the afternoon. But the way I describe it is just take, 102,000 people and set them outside. They're already out there, if you know what I mean. The parties have begun in the parking lot. So if you just take a whole day and a half of partying and then you pack 102,000 people into this place, and they've had a lot of beverages before the game, and the scene is really something sweet. It's really, the stadium shakes. It feels sort of like there's an earthquake somewhere down the street in New Orleans or something, and I don't know. It's hard to explain. Randy knows it a lot better than I do, but it's a pretty special place.
It's crazy down there. Just like you said, it shakes, and it's a whole lot of tailgating going on. Ness, last week you called the LSU-Florida game. What was it about the LSU? Because, I mean, if you look at he hasn't turned the ball over all season. Last week you saw him turn the ball over. What did Florida do in order to make those turnovers happen?
Well, first of all, Florida's got some guys that can really pin their ears back and come after the quarterback, and C.C. Jefferson and Zuniga and those guys. And you know, that was a pass rusher's game. And LSU's been struggling with their offensive line. Tomorrow will be the first time that they've had the same offensive line starters 2 weeks in a row. So they've had to shuffle around there, and they didn't protect their quarterback very well. And with that, you know, come the turnovers. And, you know, the first pick he threw that was the pick six, you know, we talked to him about it about a half an hour ago. It was a pretty good ball. It was a really good play that the guy made on the ball, and it was there a half second earlier if he'd let it go. It probably would have been a completion, and who knows, maybe they'd have driven down, scored, and won the game. So the turnovers have been a problem for them the last couple of weeks. They were really good with that in the first month of the season. They were, I think, going into even last week, they were plus eight or plus nine in turnover ratio, and you win a lot of ball games doing that. So first time, you know, they didn't protect their quarterback very well, and the turnovers are the you know, what happens when you don't.
It's Brad Nessler, guys. He's got the call tomorrow. CBS SEC Game of the Week. It's Dogs and LSU. Lots of talk about Joe Burrow. And Mike and I have been talking about it this week, Ness. The idea that, do you believe he can make the throws over the top to beat Georgia? And I think, you know, for them to win, he's going to have to make some of those throws. You've seen him. What do you think?
He made them against Auburn, you know, when they had to have him. And he threw some really good balls in that game, and that's how they won. So he knows he's capable of doing it. He's a very confident kid. I'm spending half an hour with him today, and he's a no-nonsense guy. We could barely get him to smile. And the guy's wearing Daffy Duck socks. You know, I couldn't even get him to laugh at his own socks. So he's all business. He said all he does is watch tape, practice, and go home. I said, have you experienced any of the South, you know, kind of digging it around here? Nope. Just all football. He'll have to make throws, and, you know, their tailback by committee is not bad. It's not Georgia's, but it's pretty good. And I think a matchup to watch is DeAndre Baker when he gets lined up with Justin Jefferson. Jefferson's their best threat. They've got good receivers. They've got tall receivers, but Jefferson's his favorite guy. And that matchup, and also Mecole Hardman against Greedy Williams on the other side. I just love watching those matchups of really great corners and two really good receivers.
Yes, sir. Ness, I've asked a lot of people, and you get different opinions about it. What has been your assessment of this quarterback, this two-headed quarterback that Georgia's playing now?
I think it's cool, Randy. You know, it's working for them.
Right.
We call it a situation, Gary and I. We don't call it a controversy because there's nothing controversial. It's Jake's team, but it's Justin's. When he comes in there, you know, they rally around him just as good as Jake. You can't pull a guy, you know, you already said 18-2, whatever, as a starter, and throwing 73%, you don't pull a guy like that. But if Georgia's run game for some reason gets shut down tomorrow, we're going to see Justin Fields because he changes things even for the tailbacks when he comes in, because just the threat that he can do it and, you know, the read option and him keeping it like he did against Tennessee, that puts the fear into defensive coordinators and the players themselves. So Devin White knows where he's going to be at all times. He said, when number one comes in, my job is to find him and to put him down. So, one of the best linebackers in the country and a great kid. He's one of my favorite players. So there's another matchup. If Justin's on the field, you watch where number one is and then watch where number 40 goes.
On the Sidelines, brought to you by our friends at Brightbox. It's Brad Nessler joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We've heard Kirby Smart talk a lot this week, Ness, about, you know, being in the box, controlling the box, that line of scrimmage. And one of the things that, you know, the Dogs have been concerned about is, listen, Missouri ran the ball down their throat. I mean, it's 170 yards, and, you know, they were concerned about that. And now you just talked about it. The backs by committee for LSU, Kirby has said, if we don't control the box, they're going to be able to run the football and have success against us on Saturday.
Yeah, Brossette, you know, is a good back. Ed Ogeron was saying that's one of the brightest spots he's seen this year is his development, how far he's come. He's got it. You know, ran the ball 19 times last year, and he's got almost 600 yards, you know, this season. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is kind of a combination guy, good out of the backfield as well. They don't have that They don't have that third and one guy, you know, when they had Fournette or Darius Geis, one of those guys that the pile always moved forward. They don't have one of those cats, but these two guys are good. And, you know, I think we just had a meeting here with our graphics. I think combined as a duo, they're number two in the conference as far as number of yards and touchdowns combined, something like that. See, I don't pay attention when I'm going through my own booth rehearsal. I forgot what that graphic said already. They'll remind me sometime tomorrow. By the way, I'm literally on the sideline. The dog's on your sideline dog thing. Actually, I'm in Coach Orgeron's booth right now because I'm trying to get out of the noise of this PA. But I'm looking down at the sideline, and it is a beautiful day down here. I don't know what it is back home, guys.
It's perfect.
It's about 80 and sunny right now, and it is gorgeous.
It's perfect. Nice fall day. And to what Carl was saying about, and there, a lot of people, Ness, you know, are talking about the Missouri. Missouri's running against a light box. All right. They were running, you know, they're running the spread. Georgia was spread out a little bit. They're not going to be spread out against LSU, you don't think, do you?
No. You know, they run some jet sweep stuff, but not as much as they did when Matt Canada was here last year. Steve Emsinger's got a little more pro style, you know, play action stuff. So nothing fancy, although Burrow is a good enough runner that you have to at least, you know, kind of keep an eye on him because he's not afraid to run and he's not a guy that slides. I even said, have you learned to slide yet? He goes, looked at me and said, no, but I will run out of bounds if they make me. So he's a tough kid from Ohio and he likes running the football. He doesn't mind putting his nose in it a little bit. So they got to be careful about him too a little bit.
Ness, have you had a chance to visit with Coach O? Coach O?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we just got done about 2 hours ago. He's a beauty. He told a great story. He said he went home last night, and he said, well, I went with Kelly. He said, we usually stop and get Subway, but he said, we got some rice, and we got some rice and white beans and everything. I mix it all up. He said, basically, and then he went on to say he didn't really have a side, a main staple to go with that, some kind of meat. And he said, I thought she was grilling outside. I could smell it. He said, it was my neighbor. So he said, my neighbor came over and he had one of those, what do you call, blue cheeseburgers? And he said, but he only, and it was perfect with my rice and beans. It was just a perfect compliment, but he only brought me a half a burger. And I said, well, that's not enough. That's not enough, Coach. And he said, I told him, he said, the guy, after he gave it to me, he said, you know, we sat up in the box last time. It was a home game. That's pretty nice. And he said, I tell you one thing. You want to sit in the box for the Georgia game, you got to bring more than a half a burger.
He's right about that.
It's a tough ticket is what I'm saying, guys. Right?
It is. I mean, listen, I think the anticipation of this game, we talked about it when we saw you at SEC Media Week. We talked about it in the summer when we talked to you. And everybody kind of circled this game on the calendar. Tomorrow it goes down, guys. And I can't wait, Ness, to hear you guys call. I heard Gary earlier talking about this game and kind of breaking it down. I know he's going to be all over it. We're looking forward to watching you guys and seeing how this game plays out. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ness.
Okay, guys. Have a good one. And I guess my six-pack's in the mail.
Yeah, man. Amen. We got you squared away. We got you.
Yeah. Okay. I heard new cans and everything. I heard all about it.
Yeah. New cans, a little different color, but the same great taste.
I love that line, the same great taste. Hey, Carl, Bo's got my address. You just send it on.
We got you, man. We're going to send you a nice, probably two sixers?
I mean,
two sixers.
Yeah, take them to the south side where they don't let you get one can.
Yeah, Ness, a guy calls today and he's like, hey, they're only giving us one can down here. Oh, man. Hey, enjoy. We'll talk to you.
That stuff is like gold.
It is. Hey, it's in demand. There's no doubt about it. That's Brad Nessler, guys. Watch him tomorrow on CBS Sports. It's the game of the week, the SEC game of the week. All right, we've got plenty more to get to. Steve Coonan, Hawk CEO, stops by the show. We did this great tour yesterday of new State Farm Arena, but we've also got Hawks news on the floor with John Collins. Stay tuned.
The rice.
Always on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up at 5, the Falcon Report. More on the injuries, guys, that will affect the game on Sunday against Tampa. And the latest on what Julio Jones and Matt Ryan are saying about this matchup. But right now, it's Steve Coonan, the Hawks CEO. And first and foremost, I'm excited. I had to tell you, that building down there, State Farm Arena, and I know it's not done yet, Steve, but wow. Thank you for the tour yesterday. I know you weren't there, but we got an opportunity, 92.9 The Game and V103, to walk around and check things out. It was amazing.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, they told me that y'all were there after you left. I was very pleased. I would have liked to have come and seen you, but pretty cool, huh?
It is. I think, and Randy and I were talking about this, you know, Randy's in for Mike today, who's off, but...
By the way, is it required that y'all take vacation every week?
What are you talking about? I don't understand.
Okay.
I don't understand.
When
what are you
I grow
about?
Up, I hope I get your gig.
I have talked to you a couple of Fridays in a row, haven't I, Steve?
Yeah, okay. I think it's 13, yeah. according yeah. to my calendar. Yeah,
you know what? Yeah. Both of you guys need to relax. All right, here's the deal, though. Brandy and I were saying this, and I know this is a part of the plan. But, Steve, we're walking around, and I'm thinking, I want to hang out here. I want to be in that lounge. I want to be here. There's so many cool areas that aren't you a little bit afraid that people are going to be engaged in that and not the game?
No, because I truly believe that you can't legislate how people have fun. Mm. And I also believe that what we've done is, and I don't know we're right, but we've tried to project 10 years out what sports will look like. I mean, do you really think baseball is going to be a four-hour game 10 years from now? I don't. And I don't think people going to a game and sitting in a seat is going to be the way that people consume live sporting events in the future. So we wanted to create opportunities that you could socialize, you can network, you can eat and drink, you can entertain, you can hang out, and be part of the game. And the great part about the NBA is it's very easy to divert your attention. You don't have to know the backstory. You can look at the scoreboard and the situation and watch the game. So we want to have home court advantage, but you don't always have to be in your seat to create that. So I think, and I hope we're right, and I think we're right, that you got to give people what they're looking for, not inflict what happened 20 years ago.
Mm. It's Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We got to talk about John Collins because we found out today that he's going to miss at least, the first three games.
Right.
According to the report, it's a left ankle injury, and he had mild inflammation, guys, and soreness. He had a non-surgical procedure, but we're not going to get to see John at least for the home opener, I don't believe, right? October 24th. And, you know, he's turned into a guy that I think a lot of people are expecting him to have a big season after coming into the league. And we talked to Travis Link yesterday, and he said he's really feeling like he's going to take the turn to do some great things this season. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. But I look at the season as an 82-plus game arc, not, you know, five games, three games. And so we want John healthy. You know, we want him really healthy. And he complained of some soreness, and we checked it out. And we're very fortunate to be partnered with Emory, who have some of the best diagnostic equipment. We literally have a Tesla Mach 3 MRI machine that looks at soft tissue injuries. It's the only one in the Southeast. And that machine was able to find out that there is an issue, and John's being treated, and he'll be back pretty soon.
Well, the other night we got a Steve Holman bang out of the young cat from Oklahoma and hitting the deep three to win the basketball game.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, that's what I've been dreaming of since draft night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm going to have that tattoo put on my back. Except it's preseason, so it's probably not worth the pain.
Yeah.
But the potential's there, and I don't want the last shot to overlook 22 points, 50% shooting, you know, really playing defense better than we thought, and his passing ability is superb. So Trey's not going to be an all-star every night, but, you know, it is his rookie year, and we're going to ride a little bit of a roller coaster, but boy, did you see it that night. It was something special.
Yeah, I Steve, you know, the excitement. I told this story the other day on the show. You know, I was kind of laying around. There was that particular night, I'm just kind of flipping around. There was nothing that had my interest, and I wanted to see how the Hawks were doing, and I literally watched probably the last 5 minutes of the game, and then to see that shot and how social media blew up,
yep.
You know, because it was like, oh, because those are the wow moments, guys, that we've been talking about. And you start to get those at new State Farm Arena, and all of a sudden people are going to be like, okay, I got to go be a part of some of these wow moments. I've said this. I think it's going to be a fun team to watch, and they're going to get up and down. Travis was saying that yesterday. They're going to push it and have fun and shoot the three and be a tempo team.
Yeah, I think Lloyd Pierce has really got these guys playing fast, 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 and I do think they're going to be fun. And, yes, there'll be growing pains, but I'll guarantee you, if you come down, if you watch us on TV, if you listen on the radio, you will enjoy the product. And it's all, you know, part of tomorrow starting today.
Hey, see, I had a quick question for you about the new arena. Have you guys been already booked, like, other things other than basketball so far this year there?
Oh, yeah. We got three Drake concerts. We've got huge amount. In fact, it's funny. Even in a championship season, you would only play maybe 52 games at home. And so there's another 150 nights of programming. And if you go look at the schedule for State Farm Arena, it's pretty amazing, from Elton John to Drake to Jingle Ball, on and on and on. All these different performers coming to Atlanta. We're usually the number three city, only behind New York and L.A., for concerts. And the music piece is a really big piece of our business. In fact, speaking of music, we're going to represent Atlanta on opening night with the Zac Brown Band doing the national anthem and leading us off. And then Future will be doing halftime in a postgame concert.
Cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. And to be able to open the building with the Hawks, obviously they've got that. I think the So-So Def concert is the first event in the building?
Correct. We wanted something that was very Atlanta-centric. And so the first event in the building will be So-So Def on Sunday night, October 21st, followed by the Hawks game on the 24th, followed by the second Hawks game against the Bulls on the 27th. But I would love all of our listeners, and guys, we have a lot of listeners.
We do.
Don't you agree?
We do. We
do. I saw the book. We're doing good.
Yes, we are. Good. Thank you. Yes.
We'll talk about a raise later.
Thank you.
For me.
Oh, okay.
Or for you. Either one.
Yes, please. Yes.
Free open house. Welcome to the neighborhood, State Farm. Go to statefarmarena.com, register, and come on down. Bring the family on Saturday, October 20th. Everything will be open. Our discount concessions will be operating, and it'll be a great time to come see the building like Carl did, except no hard hat required. We will be ready.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I got clowned a little bit by friends. They're like, really, you need a hard hat? I'm like, the building's not finished.
Nah.
They made us put a hard hat on. They're like, no.
You needed one. I mean, there's still construction. We did it counterclockwise. We finished the west. Now we're on the east side. And so I'm sure you said to yourself, these guys have a real challenge to get it done, and we do. But it's going to be phenomenal, and I think Atlanta's going to be really proud.
I want to ask you one last thing. It's been in the news the last few days. I don't know if it's going away anytime soon as we approach the start of the NBA season. It's Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO, joining us here on Dukes and Bill. Randy Mack in for Mike today. What do you do with the Jimmy Butler situation? You got a player acting the way he does. He
Thank
is.
The Lord, it's not us.
He is a star player in the league. Is this the new NBA? I mean, is this what we're going to get?
Look, it is a players' league. Let's be honest. Chris Paul traded himself to Houston last year.
He did.
It is a players' league. That said, there's a way to do things and a way not to do things, and I'll let the audience judge the way he's handling it, but it seems to be creating a bit of chaos. Could that be a player strategy to create so much turmoil that they just get him out of town?
Mm.
Maybe, but I'm not sure that's the way, you know, the professional way to go. And I'm very thankful it's not us, and hopefully, you know, we want players wanting to come here. We want to be that destination, but that is not a good situation.
No, I totally agree. I saw Kevin Garnett quotes on it, talking about it's a blank show up there. He said it's a mess. So we'll see where it goes.
Can I switch the subject?
Yes.
What do we think about the Dogs tomorrow? Game of the year.
Oh, it's going to be a great game, Steve. The first game that the Dogs will be tested, and they will be tested. Don't get me wrong, but I think the Dogs will win that football game, though.
So do I. But it's a big test.
Oh yeah, they will have to play their best, without a doubt. They can't be up and down. They have got to find a way to get, because you know it's going to be the first time they're going to face adversity. They've only trailed 15 seconds this whole year, so.
I was worried that LSU lost to Florida last week. I think if they would have won, there might have been a complacency that's not going to be there now.
That's a good point.
Oh, no, they're mad.
Yeah, that's a good point, Steve. Hey, have a great weekend. Go Dogs.
Let's get a win.
That's right. Let's get a win for the Falcons.
Believe it or not,
what's that?
Wednesday night, go Hawks.
I know. Man, the season's here. It's crazy.
It's here. Let's go.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great weekend. Steve Kuhnin. All right, guys, coming up, Falcon Report. We got a lot to get to. I just had one of our Twitter followers say, hey, man, I know you guys talking about the guys that are not going to play, but there's a guy you guys haven't talked about. Why not? We'll get to that. The comments of Matt Ryan and Julio, Robert Alford talking about the secondary. It's all on the way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.